thing. We got a chance to see him perform and dress up last week at the farewell for the old vicar. And if you didn't hear about that, you probably see some videos on YouTube or whatever. But it was a good day. It was a lot of fun. It was hard to say goodbye, but here we are again. And that is kind of the nature of being in the vicarage program. Vicar Bader is vicar number 17. Vicar number 17 here at Good Shepherd. And I'll never forget when I went to the vicar supervisor workshop that they require every once in a while. The director said, one thing you need to remember, all vicarages self-destruct in 12 months. And he made a good point, because no matter how great or how not so great vicarage is, it's over in 12 months, and then you start over. And so we pray God's blessings upon Vicar Bader and his family. We welcome them to Lincoln, even though they haven't come very far. And we pray that this will be a great year for him and for our congregation as we grow together. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 644, The Church's One Foundation. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. Divine Service Setting 1, that's on page 151 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. For our hymn of praise, we'll sing the Gloria. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts that you shower down upon us. We thank you for the gift of the church, where we have a safe haven to come and hear your word and receive your gifts and to be at peace through the forgiveness of sins. Heavenly Father, preserve us from trying to find or seek a peace outside of Christ and his word. Teach us to hunger and thirst for the very word of God and to hang, literally hang, on Jesus' words. It's in his powerful and precious name that we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 644. service setting one, page 151. Page 151. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
I call to God.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you praise. We praise you for your glory, Lord Jesus Christ, only Son.
God, you declare your almighty power above all in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant us such a measure of your grace that we may obtain your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Continue with the readings. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Trinity is from Jeremiah chapter 8. You shall say to them, "Thus says the Lord, when men fall, do they not rise again? If one turns away, does he not return? Why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I have paid attention and listened, but they have not spoken rightly. No man relents of his evil, saying, 'What have I done?' Everyone turns to his own course, like a horse plunging headlong into battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her times, and the turtle dove, swallow, and crane keep the time of their coming. But my people know not the just decrees of the Lord. How can you say, 'We are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us'? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. The wise men shall be put to shame. They shall be dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom is in them? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to conquerors, because from the least to the greatest, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. From prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among the fallen when I punish them. They shall be overthrown, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. From your presence, let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. The epistle is from Romans, chapters 9 and 10. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it? That is, a righteousness that is by faith? But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching the law? Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if they were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia and verse. St. Luke, the 19th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the temple were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. This is the gospel of our Lord. Confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Continue with our hymn of the day, number 540, Christ, the Word of God Incarnate.
Christ our Lord, and Savior, our King.
Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." Please be seated. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Jerusalem, the mighty city of God, thousands and thousands of years old, even older than Abraham himself. Jerusalem, not only a political or territorial capital, Jerusalem, the center of worship for the people of God. God, by grace, had called the children of Israel out of all the nations of the world. He had established their worship in Jerusalem. The glory of God's people was Jerusalem. The glory of Jerusalem was the temple and the worship that was centered there. The glory of the temple was Jesus Christ. Hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born, everything that happened in the temple, all of the prayers, all of the ritual, all of the garb, and especially the sacrifices, pointed forward to the once and for all sacrifice from sin, the bloody death of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ. Today, we see Jesus entering into Jerusalem. It's Monday of Holy Week. He has just made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, Jesus had set his face like flint, like stone, toward Jerusalem. He was heading there. Everybody wanted to stop him. Don't go there. You know what awaits you there. But Jesus was determined. Not some human death wish. But Jesus knew why God had sent him into the world. Jesus had come to live and die, and rise again. This would take place primarily in Jerusalem. Jesus set his face like flint, knowing full well what would be happening there. His death and his resurrection. So Jesus enters into Jerusalem, and what does Jesus do? He wept over it. He wept over it. Jesus cried at the death of Lazarus because death hurts. Death stings. Death is not natural according to the way of God. Our God is a God of life, not a God of death. And when Jesus was confronted with the consequences of sin, he wept, full well knowing that even in a few minutes, Lazarus, who was dead, would be alive by the power of the word of the Son of God. Jesus enters Jerusalem, and he cries bitter tears. Sometimes we get a little confused when we see these accounts of Jesus doing like regular people stuff, eating and drinking and sleeping and crying. We need to be careful because we don't transfer human emotions to God. But God takes on human flesh and blood in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, from the moment of his incarnation in the womb of the Blessed Virgin, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, through whom all things were created, is now a human being, flesh and blood, now and forever. Jesus, true God and true man, looks over Jerusalem. Jesus, true God, knows the destruction that will be happening in about 40 years. Jesus, true man, weeps bitter tears. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because of their hard hearts. Because of their stubbornness in rejecting God and His Word. This is a very, very sad reading in God's Word. It's one that should break our hearts. When people reject the Word of God, it hurts. When people fall away from their baptism, fall away from the church, despise the means of grace, it hurts. And Jesus weeps. My friends, God is passing judgment in our words here in Luke 19. He is passing judgment on the church. Now, we need to be very clear. The invisible church, as we call it, comprised of all people all over the world, every denomination, all those who believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord. By grace, through faith. We can't see it. We can't identify it. Only God knows who it is. The invisible church. God does not pass judgment on that church. That church, true believers, are the apple of His eye. All that He is and all that He does is to serve His bride, the church. Now I'm talking about the visible church, the church that we see, the church that is comprised of both believers and hypocrites. It's fun in catechism class. I'll ask, who belongs to the visible church? And many times the kids will say, believers and unbelievers. Unbelievers don't belong to the church. They couldn't give a rip. But there are many who belong to the church who are just playing a game. They're going through the motions. Once in a while, a little dabble with God's house and God's Word. Maybe to keep grandma happy. Maybe to keep a family tradition alive. But the faith of the church, the faith that we confess, God's word of sin and grace, God's word of death and life, God's word of Jesus for you. There are many, far too many, that could take it or leave it. Only when it's convenient, when it doesn't get in the way of my fill in the blank. So what do churches do? Well, we have empty pews and empty collection plates. So we need to do something to bring people in. So, fads and gimmicks and entertainment and anything from soup to nuts to try to bring people into the church. Anything except the Word of God. Anything except Jesus crucified and risen for forgiveness, life, and salvation. That's what happened to the church at the time when Jesus enters in. the church in Jerusalem had turned into a place where people gained popularity and status, where individuals or church leaders could pad their pockets by doing a few things on the sly, a little sleight of hand. Maybe they didn't have TV contracts and book deals, but I guarantee you they were getting a piece of the action with the sacrificial lambs and the money changing going on. There is nothing new under the sun. Jesus comes in and he judges the church. He weeps bitterly. Why? Because it is God's desire that all people, repent and believe the good news of Jesus Christ. God does not want one single person to spend eternity in hell. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why Jesus weeps. If you had only known the things that bring peace, it was right there. He was right there. Jesus, the Prince of Peace that was prophesied by Isaiah, was now there. What the church was supposed to be about was in their midst, and they missed it. They were blind to it because they had turned their backs on the Word of God. My friends, do we know the things that bring peace? We don't, if we don't think our sins are that big of a deal. We don't, if we really don't believe, as we confess, that we are poor, miserable sinners. We don't, if we think that somehow we can make peace for ourselves. And with those attitudes, Jesus weeps. He looks at the church, and he weeps. Because just like his friend Lazarus, we have no life. We are dead. Dead in the trespasses of our sins. My friends, today is a good day to take a look in the mirror, to do a little reflecting and soul searching. Are we falling into the trap and the habit of just going through the motions with church? Or is it our life? Our lifeblood? Do we hang on the words of Jesus, knowing that in the words of Jesus we have life and life to the full? Or do we pick and choose which words suit us today, but maybe not tomorrow? My friends, just as certainly as Jesus in the flesh visited Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago, as recorded for us in Luke 19, Jesus in the flesh visits us today. Do you know the time of your visitation? Today. Today is the day of your visitation. Today is the day of the Lord. Today is the day that Jesus comes to you with his word of law and gospel. Today is the day Jesus comes with his words of absolution, God's divine forgiveness spoken into your ears. Today is the day that Jesus comes to you riding not on a donkey but on bread and wine, in with and under the very body and blood of Jesus for you and for your salvation. Now is the day, not tomorrow, not the next day, but today. Today is the day of Christ's visitation and your salvation. My friends, Jesus came into this world in the flesh to bring peace. Jesus in the flesh fulfilled the law that we dance around and look for loopholes in and play with and hope we don't get burned. Jesus in the flesh bled and died on Calvary's cross for you and for your peace. Jesus in the flesh rose from the dead, never to die again. Your sins are forgiven, sealed by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus in the flesh ascended to the right hand of God and at the same time is really present with us now. Loving, caring, forgiving. My friends, as difficult as it may seem, God's love in Jesus Christ is for all people. God sincerely desires that all would believe. All would believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord. God loves the pious churchgoer. God loves the abortionist and the adulterer. God loves the pastor or the vicar or the elder. God loves the terrorist blowing up himself and others around. God's love in Jesus Christ is real and universal. But not all people will go to heaven. Only those who cling to Jesus in faith. Only those who have that peace that passes all understanding. So what do we do? What do we do now here in the church? We preach and teach the Word of God. We preach and teach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ for poor, miserable sinners like us. And we hang on the words of Jesus, because His word is life. May God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our ears in Christ Jesus. Having been fed by the Word of God, the people of God call out to God in prayer. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the many blessings you have graciously bestowed upon us. Give us wisdom to use these gifts rightly. Protect us from all greed and selfishness that would turn any of your gifts into idols, and grant us faithfulness even in the midst of abundance. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Send laborers into your harvest, O Lord. Fill them with your wisdom that they would be faithful stewards of your mysteries, making known your gracious visitation in the holy word and sacraments, which deliver eternal salvation to those who hear and receive in faith. We ask your blessings this day upon Pastor Murundi as he is installed in his new congregation in Indiana. We ask your blessings upon Pastor Moline as he makes his transition from North Dakota to Lincoln. We ask your blessings upon Vicar Bader as he begins his year of service. Bless them that they would always be faithful to your word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Defend your church throughout the world, O Lord. Give strength to our brothers and sisters in Christ who experience persecution, and turn the hearts of our enemies, that they would be brought to repentance and faith and joined to the fellowship of all believers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless our president, our governor, all those who make, administer our laws, all judges, that they might serve our country faithfully and make decisions with wisdom. Bless those in law enforcement, that they may serve and protect their communities in safety. Defend all who serve in our military and give courage to them and to their families. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Support and strengthen those who are sick or suffering in the midst of affliction. Keep them always focused upon Christ and the everlasting hope they have in Him. If it be your will, restore them to physical health and strength. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, God of life, we beg you to show mercy to all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones this day. We ask for a special measure of your peace to the family of Arlene Haydenfelt, laid to rest here on Friday. Heavenly Father, may their peace be in your gracious visitation in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the life of the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks, Heavenly Father, for the great gift of your Son, Jesus. He has given us a special gift in his Holy Supper. As we join together with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven in lauding and praising you, lift up our hearts that we should rightly receive Jesus' body and blood for the forgiveness of our sin. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that is only available in and through Jesus Christ, would be yours today and forever. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
159, we stand as you're able.
Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh, and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake He died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling Your will and gaining for You a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and singing,
Holy,
are You, Lord of heaven and earth, for You have had mercy on those whom You created and sent Your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg You, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with Your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood, as He bids us do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To You alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in Your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ on the night when he was betrayed took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Lamb of God.
Oh, body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
God of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Please stand. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite the elders of the congregation to come forward. And Vicar Bader, you can come down here. Right about where, I guess we're worried about his knees making it through the year, huh? All right. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, today we officially install Vicar Bader. He's been helping around a little bit. Shadowing and doing a few basic things, but today it's official, and we welcome you to the family of God here at Good Shepherd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, according to the usual custom of the church, Vicar Albert Bader has been assigned to serve as vicar at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School. As a student assigned to our congregation, he will continue his education in preparation for service to the church as a called worker, an ordained pastor. Hear what the Word of God says about those who serve in the church. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3:15-17. Vicar, I'll have you kneel. Vicar Bader, are you prepared to serve as vicar in this congregation under the supervision of the pastors, undertaking your assignments as one who seeks training for the office of the holy ministry? If so, then answer, I am with the help of God.
I am with the help of God.
Albert Bader, I install you as vicar at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite the elders of the church to share a blessing with our newest vicar.
Vicar Bader, 2 Timothy 1, verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. God's blessings.
Vicar Bader, 1 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Vicar Bader, 1 Chronicles 28:20. Then David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you." Blessings.
Vicar Bader, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Vicar Bader, let's take him to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thy might. May the Lord bless and direct you in your work. May he give you strength to meet your needs. And may you always know the contentment and joy of sharing his message with others.
Vicar Bader, this is God's word from Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be afraid.
Vicar Bader, God's blessings from Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Vicar, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. May these words and the words of our elders be a constant reminder that your service is not your own, but your service is a gift of God, and you serve that living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, you send laborers into your harvest. Grant your blessing to Vicar Bader, who now begins his vicarage in our congregation, so that your word may bear much fruit for the growth of your church. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'll have you stand up. Vicar, go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. Amen. Gentlemen, thanks for coming forward. We sing our closing hymn, 643, Sent Forth by God's Blessing.
Thank you.
welcome in the name of Jesus, who truly brings us peace. Just in case the vicar's installation didn't stick, we're going to do it again at the beginning of the 10:30 service, so everybody gets the chance. Yeah, so, and he'll get to actually read the lessons and all that in the second service. So if you're curious what his voice is going to sound like, that's always the big deal when we get a new vicar. Turn on the radio for the 10:30 service, and you'll get a little bit of a head start. Or you can stay for church again at 10:30. We welcome Vicar Bader. I told him that for the next 12 months, he has no first name. He is Vicar, and that's a good thing. That's a good reminder and a humbling thing. Vicar's wife, Gretel, and son Dawson are there. You want to stand up if people haven't met them yet. That's Gretel and Dawson. And Gretel's mom, Cindy Bremer, is there along with her. And many of you know Pastor Bremer in Grand Island. And so we pray for Cindy daily with that cross to bear. He's a good man and a good friend. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. We have a lot of activities happening in the days and weeks ahead. I know there's a sign-up sheet out there for the church picnic. If you're going and you know it for sure, it'd be nice to have a number. If you don't sign up and at the last minute you can go, that's okay too. But church picnic is out there. School begins on the 14th of August here at Good Shepherd. Opening school chapel is at 8:30. You're all invited. 2 weeks from today, we have our big Christian Education Rally Day. Check out the details in the news and notes there. Pastor Moline and family are arriving in Lincoln on August 21st. That's a Tuesday, 2 weeks from this Tuesday. And they're living in a duplex just right next to the church. So if you can help out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, help unload the truck, that would be awesome. And the details for Pastor Moline's installation have been set. August 26 at 4 p.m. August 26 at 4 p.m. So I know it's hard to get Lutherans to come to church once a Sunday. It's almost impossible to get Lutherans to come to church twice in one Sunday. Let's make this an exception, okay? 4 o'clock, August 26th. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We're running a little bit late. We will have a short Sunday school opening in here, and we'll finish up our particular section of the Formula Concord for our Bible study for today. Whew, I think that's all. Have a great day and week in the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to Bader, shall we? We give my